Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show. Joining us, as always, when I'm not gold-bricking, the Prince of Twitter, RegentRedState.com, Andrew Malcolm, at A.H. Malcolm on the Twitterses, and of course over at RedState.com, where he's a VIP columnist, and sometimes he's got his stuff out in the clear, too. Andrew, welcome back, or maybe I should
say... Well, welcome you. Yeah, that's a welcome back to you. You're the guy that's been traveling.
I'm the guy that's been gold-bricking. I've been gold-bricking the whole time. So there you go. I want to ask you what you think... I'm sorry, I started something here and I started a timer app there and it did weird things. So I'm going to stop that timer app and go back to the topic. Just wing it like I usually do. I want to talk a little bit about your columns. You've got a couple of great columns up in the time that I have been gone. You notice that there was movement in the race. And I'd say that if you're looking at the betting markets, more than a little movement. And then you're also talking about the Biden's revenge on Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Which one is that first? That's delicious.
It's awesome. It was a great column, too.
Thank you. Yeah, well, you know, there's been several things some of which you could attribute to, Biden not being there 100%, but not all of them. And, Kamala came out and said, that DeSantis, he's screwing things up in the hurricane. And then they asked Biden about it. And he said, no, he's actually quite good. He's been doing a great job, very cooperative and so on. So you got that, which was kind of blunt. It was in The Godfather, right? When he's talking to Andy Garcia and he says, okay, you are who you are.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. I forgot that line. That's a good line.
Yeah. My other line that I like is Joey Zaza's a pazzo. Yeah. But yeah. You are who you are. And that's who she is. Biden said that she was there with him 100% all the way, involved in all the major decisions. And The View asked her, well, what would you have done differently? And she said, I can't think of anything. So, it's pretty klutzy. And we know that Jill despises Kamala for some of the things that Kamala said about her husband back in 2020, racist and so on. They stuck her with the Biden campaign organization. They tacked on a few other people of hers, but so revenge is sweet, right? I mean, it's and what I tried to point out, and I won't talk about everything, but what I tried to point out is that Kamala Harris is a problem. Now, none of those Democrats are going to admit it, but she was the only choice they could make if they didn't want to have a racial backlash when they replaced Biden. But truth is, they really don't want her around. So if they talk, by golly, we got to get her in the White House, but she loses, hey, well, okay, Americans have decided. And that kind of eliminates her from the 2028 picture, which is fine with Gavin Newsom and all the other wannabes.
Right.
And Biden then can go out and say, well, look, I could have beaten him, which he's a mean man and he's very defensive. So that would serve his purpose. So, and there's a bunch of other stuff that I went into, but it just makes sense I mean, if she wins, she wins, and somebody will tell her what to do all the time, like they're telling Joe Biden what to do. But if she goes away, it's they'll the media will still have Trump to beat up on, and the Democrats will have Trump to beat up on, and he'll still inhabit their mind if he wins. So I thought that was kind of fun, and judging by the numbers, a lot of other people were interested in it too.
So yeah, what I would say is this too, is that the revenge isn't really specific to Kamala Harris. It's specific to Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Chuck
Right.
Schumer, the people who pushed him out of the race. I don't think, I mean, I don't know. I hear that Jill Biden and Kamala Harris don't get along. I don't know how true that is, but I think his ire is
Yeah,
not with
yeah.
Kamala Harris. It's with the people who pushed him out of the race,
The
and
establishment. Yeah.
he stuck them with her as a
Yeah.
way to get even with them, and that I can buy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, human nature, life would be so simple if we didn't have to deal with other people. But since we do, the little dramas that play out and the humanity, these people sometimes look like robots, but they're not. They're as petty as the secretary at a PTA meeting.
Well, and I mean, we already knew that Kamala Harris wasn't really good at this, right? We learned that in
Yeah,
2019.
right.
And this is kind of getting into some of the other things that we're talking about, including the movement and the remarkably close race, some of which I covered earlier today in terms of what the betting markets are showing, which have really swung pretty significantly over the last few days to Donald Trump. Largely in reaction to Kamala Harris's media blitz, which didn't go well, Andrew.
Bananas or raspberries or whatever.
Oh my gosh, did not go well. Now, the most prominent of these is an interesting story, not just in terms of the electoral cycle, which it still is for that, but in terms of media corruption. And I think we're at the level of media corruption here. CBS News got an interview with her on for their 60 Minutes program, important enough to where they actually aired it on a Monday night, right? Donald Trump refused to do an interview with 60 Minutes because he felt that they had sandbagged him
Yeah,
4 years ago.
and rightly
Rightly so.
so.
Rightly so. And they never apologized for it. They never corrected the record on it. And he says, "What? Until you apologize and correct the record, I'm not going to sit down and do an interview with you guys." Fair enough. So Harris gets the sit down interview with Bill Whitaker, I believe, is the
Yeah.
reporter's name. And they start releasing clips over the weekend. This is before I actually left on my trip, right? So I'm watching these clips, a couple of them, right? And they're word salads, right? She doesn't answer the question. She doesn't even come close to answering her question in these word salad responses. I didn't, I was traveling. I didn't watch the actual 60 Minutes broadcast. But what happened was 60 Minutes went back after they released the excerpts, right, to promote the interview. They went back and changed the answer on one of these to something else that she'd said in response to a different question. And the only reason we know that is because they'd actually released
Yeah.
it in a promo. Now, I get that sit-down interviews get edited. I do. I get it. Happens all the time. Unless you're doing it live, they get edited. And because there's all sorts of different things, you got two camera shots, you want to cut in the questioner and I totally get it. But I've never ever, 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 ever heard of a legitimate news outlet cutting an answer given by a political candidate and pasting in one to make that candidate look better. Now, Andrew, you've been around the news industry an awfully
Yeah.
long time. Have you ever even heard of somebody doing
No,
that?
no, no, not at all. There are games that go on, and interviews that are allegedly exclusive, but they're used as rehearsal for the politicians. So they give you an exclusive interview at noon, and then they go do a news conference at 5, and they've had 4 hours to figure out what the media is likely to ask. I mean, there are those things that go on, and I don't know if it's fair or not, but it's understandable. But cheating and slipping in something that in the place where she didn't say it, that's just, no, that's unethical. And it fits with, remember the Dan Rather business going after George W. Bush?
Sure.
That turned out to be false. It fits with an attitude of helping one side and not the other, or trying to help. And it's strange because back when I started in national corresponding back in the late 60s and early 70s, CBS was the gold standard. I mean, those people were even amongst television, they were real pros. They were doing stuff, getting into places that nobody else could get into, and, fair coverage. Of course, those were the Walter Cronkite days, but the culture of these places and of the whole profession has just changed radically since the Bill Clinton days. And it's pathetic. It's like you said, it's corrupt. It's sad. But more importantly, it's bad for democracy. We need, in our democracy, we need a fair media. They're no longer fair. They got constitutional protections to be the government watchdog, and they're only the watchdog on one party. And it's crushing. And I don't know, until you get somebody like J.D. Vance who's prepared to talk back to them with harsh honesty. Boy, did you see what he did to Martha Raddatz?
I did. And look, I mean, I was traveling on Sunday, right? When I got back home, I think I may have even been on the plane or at the airport. I looked at that and I played the clip, and it was like, now that's how it's done. I know there was a lot of people who were questioning whether or not J.D. Vance was a wise choice because he was kind of
that convinced me. I've not been a big fan. I've not been an opponent or anything, but I've not been impressed with J.D. But that comeback to Martha Raddatz, she said, well, he was criticizing the cross-border crime waves. And she said, well, in Aurora, Colorado. And she said, well, that happened in only a few apartment complexes. This is from the woman who lives in a $2.25 million private home in Arlington. It's only a few thousand people getting robbed and mugged. And JD, he came right back and said, are you listening to yourself? Or do you hear yourself? These people come in from the open border that Kamala Harris was supposed to fix, and Donald Trump is the problem. The beauty of it was so clear and so concise. He didn't go on. There weren't a lot of clauses and then on the other hand, but if you're fair, there wasn't a lot of that stuff. It was just straight to the point, and I thought devastating. Now truth is that not that many people are watching Sunday morning shows anymore. But I wrote a post a couple of weeks ago. I think we talked about it here, that there's a whole new generation of Republican surrogates coming up. Tom Cotton has been the primary one. He's devastating on this media, and he, not at all intimidated. And now JD, who was picked to be tough, is tough. There are others, but I'm hoping that a whole bunch of others, even the old timers, will get emboldened by the effectiveness of these tough comebacks. And the beauty is, they're not partisan comebacks. They're pointing out the facts. Devastating for media like Martha Raddatz.
You know, I'll tell you what ran through my mind when I was watching that was the old joke about a guy who's been accused of being unfaithful to his wife, and he says, "Unfaithful? I'll have you know that I've been faithful to her dozens of times." I guess that qualifies as a joke of the week, by the way. It's an old joke.
Okay, so a premature jocularity.
I think we might have found a new, we might have found a whole new class of sponsors for this podcast.
That's right. That's
If you suffer
right.
from premature jocularity,
That's
PJ, instead of ED, it's PJ. Yeah, there
PJ, yeah, that's right.
you go. Oh my gosh. All right.
That's
right
a
the,
good
on that.
one. I got you on that one. That's a
You totally got me on that one. That was awesome. But yes, I mean, this is a guy who can actually answer questions in context, right?
on
And when you
substance, yeah.
in substance, and look, Raddatz was asking him tough questions.
That's
He
okay.
was asking stupid question in that particular case. That was a dumb thing to say, but she was actually asking him tough questions, and he can respond to that. You know, I also saw while I was on vacation, or maybe it was even yesterday, he had done an interview with Martha McCallum, and it was not a softball interview. She was kind of trying to pin him down on policy, talk about how he differed from Trump in the past and that sort of thing. And you know, and he's prepared to do this. He's prepared to talk. His big thing today, though, of course, J.D. Vance's thing today is Kamala Harris's book apparently was plagiarized from Wikipedia in some significant part, and he's tweeting out, "You know, I wrote my own book." But you know,
Well, you know,
he's real.
it
He's
runs
not.
in the administration, and Joe Biden got in trouble for plagiarizing.
Yeah, you know, back when they picked her, I mean, people weren't checking her book out for that type of thing. But some, I think it was Christopher Rufo, ran it through the, you know, the plagiometer, I guess. There's some software that will actually scour the internet to see if, you know, books or essays are plagiarized. And apparently he must have used that and come up with a bunch of examples of how exactly they were being played, you know, how exactly she had filled in her book. Partly from Wikipedia, partly from other sources without attribution. And so that's the story today. But I mean, this is part of the problem over 2 weeks, over the last couple of weeks. For some reason, and I know what the reason was, they decided that they needed to do sort of a media blitz, kind of, right? I think they needed to be seen to be doing a media blitz. She still hasn't done a press conference.
No.
And up until today, she was doing soft media, with the exception of 60 Minutes, and that blew up in her face, right? Even though Bill Whitaker and the 60 Minutes editing team did everything they could to try to make her look as good as possible. She went on The View, I think you've already mentioned this, talking about how, well, I wouldn't have done anything different over the last 4 years. Oh, and by the way, I'm the change candidate.
And the Univision interview that she did.
Oh, the
Now,
forum. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, that blew
So
up.
she did it. So she did it. Now, it looked like a town hall, okay? And the announcer was there on the right. She's there on center stage. The audience is up in a tier like a late night show. And if you watch the video, there's a teleprompter about this big in front of her that the audience can't see. And as the camera goes around her back, you see the teleprompter moving, and then it goes dark because the producers realize they're showing the trick. Now, the announcer or the host later, so when the people asked him about that, he said, "Oh, that was for my introduction." Yeah. Well, then one, why'd you turn it off?
Right.
And two, why is it still on? And if you when the introduction is long gone. And three, if you look at it, you can't read it, but if you look at it, there's text. Oh, he said his excuse was that after his introduction, it became a timer. Well, if you look at it, when the camera's moving behind her, you see there's no timer. It's a text. It's a moving text giving her answers for the questions allegedly spontaneous coming from the audience. You know, it's phony, and I don't know if it matters in the long run, but it adds evidence, it accumulates. And if you're hurt, if you have a reputation for something like plagiarizing, and then there's another plagiarizing, that makes it worse. If a politician has a reputation for lying, and then he's caught in another lie, that makes it worse, because it reinforces the impression. Hillary Clinton got caught back in 2008 at an Iowa town hall planting questions with the audience. And turns out, I think it was CNN too, it turns out that her advanced people went to the audience and said, was anybody going to ask questions? And this college girl raised her hand and they said, what are you going to ask? And she stated her question. And the guy said, well, how about if you ask this? Because it would appeal to a strength of Hillary Clinton's. So she did. But then she went outside and told reporters later that they had her ask that question. That's the kind of games that go on. And of course, Hillary was well prepared for that question. That's why they're planting it.
Yeah, in this particular case, they were actually saying, well, these are all undecided voters. Mm-hmm. You know, undecided Hispanic voters. And it turned out that they weren't. They were all Kamala Harris supporters. Half of them were recruited by Harris's campaign. The other half were recruited by it's called Fan on Q service that put out basically a casting call for Kamala Harris supporters. The Harris campaign bust half of them in. This Fan on Q company got the rest of them in there.
Because there weren't enough volunteer supporters who wanted to come in and talk to her, actually talk to her, talk or at her. Voters.
Yeah, but I mean, but they misrepresented. But again, Univision.
It's totally misrepresented. Yeah.
Yeah. And Michael Tracy, who's a, he's actually a sort of a progressive journalist, but he's sour on Democrats at the moment for good reasons, was there. And he was trying to interview, you know, members of the audience, and he got to talk to a couple of them. They said, oh no, we're not undecided. They sent us up here because we support Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
And that's after he talked to a few of them, the producers shut down his access to the audience, and he found
who's
out
that? Michael, who is that?
Michael Tracy. He's on, I forget where he's at. He's on Twitter all the time. You should know him because you're the prince of Twitter.
Right? That's true. That's true. But not, I don't let everyone into the castle.
There you go. All right. But all of this is sort of a ramp up to something we mentioned earlier, which is that Kamala Harris has now agreed to do a one-on-one interview. And I've been calling it nearly live with Bret Baier on Fox News. And I know that Democrats are going to say, well, this is because she's courageous. And the New York Times was covering the, well, she can reach different voters and she can reach on MSNBC and CNN. Yeah. Well, that's certainly true. But there is no way in hell that she does this unless she thinks she's losing.
Yeah.
And she refused to do a debate on Fox. I think Bret Baier had offered this interview opportunity in August, and they refused it.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's on like Donkey Kong. And I guess they, you know, Bret Baier is, I would say, a fair and professional journalist. He's going to ask questions. He's going to treat her with respect, but he's going to ask questions and he's going to drill down to get the answers. And, at least that's my
yeah, no, I think so. I think, yeah, I think so. Obviously. And excuse me, if I was him, she has dodged full answers several times. I mean, even Whitaker asked her repeatedly questions that she was dodging. And if I was him, at some point after two or three efforts, I would say, well, obviously you're not going to answer that real question, and move on. Just to underline the point that as I'm not sure that everyone, probably a lot of people, but I'm not sure that everyone will get if she's just talking her word salads that sound swell, unless you're thinking of what the words mean. I'm not sure everyone would get the fact that dodge, dodge, dodge.
Again, look, I mean, I think if she dodges, he's probably going to ask a follow-up. And if she dodges that, then it might be a Dana Bash sort of thing where he just decides he's going to move on to the next topic.
No, and you got to call it out, I think. I think you got to. I would, but I respect Brett Baer, but I hope he does. But I
Respect
think
Brett Baer too. I think he's fair.
yeah, he is fair.
And I think he has
And
a Brit Hume. I think he's got a Brit Hume sense of approach to his job. And Brit Hume would certainly follow up and press for an answer. I just got to ask you, what do you think is going on in their minds? Because the only thing I can think of is that they're going to try to use whatever she does as some sort of way of saying that Fox News, it's Fox News's problem, Fox News is misogynistic, Fox News is whatever, racist, whatever, because I can't imagine her coming out of that looking good. She couldn't even do that in 60 Minutes in The View.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're absolutely true. And those were softball in The View, especially.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's Fox News' strength. It came in what was the late 90s, I think, and it provides things that others don't. And it gets labeled by the Democrats as conservative. But the fact is, I think the last numbers I saw, a third of the Fox special report audience is are Democrats. And it's because it's a different tack on the news. And personally, I watch them all the time. I haven't caught them in any of this tape editing, distorting type of business. It's just shameful. But it's a younger generation that wasn't raised. They weren't apprentices. They were moved right along into prominent jobs. Not Brett Baer, not Martha McCallum, not Brit Hume. But Brit Hume and I have identical birthday on the identical year. So I have to respect. I've never found anybody else like that, but I have to respect him.
There were a couple of Hollywood actors, I think, that had my same birth date and year. I feel bad
Really?
for them now, but
Yeah,
forget who they are too. I'd have to go look it up, but yeah, I mean, you'd have to be desperate if you're Kamala Harris to do this with Brett Baer.
you'd think
I
so,
mean,
but now here's the thing. I agree with you 100% that that's the reason for her, but Donald Trump went into the South Bronx. That's enemy territory. He went into the Black Journalists Association. Now, he fell into a fight that he didn't really need.
yeah.
So he didn't handle that too well, I thought. But he's gone into places where you think a Republican is not always welcome. And that is bravery. And what I learned in my, whatever it was, 10 years in politics was, you have to ask for the vote. I mean, sometimes literally, in a town hall, you're explaining things and you say, and that's why I'm here to ask for your vote. Americans like that. They like straight shooters, well, at least appearance of straight shooting, and that they're there to hear from them. And that's not what you get from Kamala Harris. These are setups. She's been in Washington. Even Politico did a deep dive on this. Harris has spent half the time since the convention in Washington. So she's not out, and she may do one or two, you know, drop by an ice cream shop or something, but she's not out meeting real people. These are staged places. And
Right.
it's sad, but it's revealing at the same time. But you know, you won't find the media harping on it, as I think they should, the way they harp on Trump about his foibles. I'm just hope that in the long run, and boy, has this been a long run, right? This is the longest presidential, this is the longest presidential campaign in American history. That in the long run, Americans will figure it out. My dad always said that. In the end, American voters figure it out. I don't know. I don't have that confidence anymore. But I hope they do. There certainly is ample evidence. And you know, Trump fans, Trump's base, and Kamala's base, they're not gonna catch on to anything other than what they want to believe. But the people who matter, which is the bulge in the middle, I hope they figure it out and realize they're not voting for a prom queen. They're voting for a commander in chief, who's going to, at some point, probably have to ask volunteers in the military to put themselves in harm's way. And a word salad would not be very convincing for troops.
All right. One last quick thing from last week, because I wasn't around when this thing dropped, but it has been roundly ridiculed, which was the Men for Harris ad, which I honestly thought was something from the Babylon Bee when I first saw it. Did you see this thing?
No. I heard about it.
So I'm just going to read you a couple of paragraphs of Matt Taibbi, who basically sums this up about as brilliantly as you can possibly imagine. It says, there are so many fakes and parodies on the internet that I had to approach Man Enough, an ad ostensibly targeting male voters for Kamala Harris, Tim Walz campaign on mental tiptoe. I heard the premise before watching and was certain it had to be a meta prank of the Andy Kaufman school. Nobody could be that stupid. It's no prank. Written and directed by Jimmy Kimmel writer and Jacob of All Trades Substack contributor Jacob Reed, Man Enough is a sincere attempt to win votes for Kamala Harris. It was made for Creatives for Harris and reposted by Vote Save America. Unless Reed's entire career is performance art, which I can't rule out, it's both the most self-sabotaging political messaging campaign ever and a devastating satire of the progressive unmanned archetype that could have been titled, Sorry, I Have One. We'll win the election for Donald Trump if enough men or women, for that matter, see it. And the best part about this.
Yeah, no, go ahead. No, go ahead.
The best part of this is, once again, these were not actual voters. These were actors they hired. And and not good actors either. Not the good actors.
Well, you remember from the Obama campaign, remember Pajama Boy?
Yes, that's exactly what this is. Pajama Boy, except honestly, it's even the stereotype is even more ridiculous in this case.
Was Pajama Boy Hillary or was it Obama?
I'm kind of thinking it was Obama's 2012 campaign, Pajama Boy. I have to go back and look, but yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's because they're at war with masculinity. That's more of an Adam Baldwin discussion.
No, they are. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Toxic masculinity. As opposed to premature jocularity.
Once again, if you suffer from premature jocularity, be sure to consult the our advertisers. I'm sure are going to be flocking to this podcast after this. We've set the table for premature jocularity. Speaking of premature jocularity, though, that brings us to the jokes of the week. I'm not sure if you've got a joke.
I've got sincere Thanksgiving wishes. for all my Canadian relatives and followers. Today is that we're taping on Monday is Canadian Thanksgiving, and I had turkey, so
there you go.
I'm in. Yeah,
in. You're all in. Well, happy Canadian Thanksgiving to all of our viewers in Canada, and happy to you as well. It's also a Jewish holiday today. I don't know if you're aware of it. Columbus. Did you see the news that they did a DNA analysis of Christopher Columbus's remains, and it turns out he's a Sephardic Jew?
Is that right?
Yeah, I contacted Jeff Dunnitz and I said, all right, on behalf of the Italians, I have to ask you, what holiday are you willing to swap with us to take over Columbus? He hasn't gotten back to me on that, but I'm going to get to negotiate this. Jeff, of course, is, you know, not also at lidblog.com. It's a great blog. Go over there and read it. But he's also a member of the Zionist Congress. So I'm assuming I'm talking to somebody with the authority to, you know,
to give you the
Italians want something. Maybe it's the Feast of Booths. I don't know. It's something. We got to have something. We got to get something.
That's right. Mermaids.
Italian. Yeah. All right. I got a couple jokes for you, though.
Okay.
All right. A police officer in a small town stops a motorist speeding down Main Street. And officer walks up and the driver says, look, officer, I can explain. And he says, just be quiet. I'm going to let you cool your heels in jail for this until the chief gets back. He says, but officer, I need to tell you something. He says, I said, keep quiet. You're going to jail. So he arrests the guy, puts him in the thing. And after a few hours, the officer comes back in and says, look, I'm going to let you out now. And it's lucky for you that the chief is going to be in a good mood. He's at his daughter's wedding. And the guy says, don't count on it. I'm the groom. Get me to the church on.
I love that. I love ones that you don't see coming. Those are the funniest.
Well, speaking of premature jocularity, this is my last one. Both of these are from jokesoftheday.net, by the way. Jim was startled to see the nonchalant way that his friend John was taking the fact that his woman was out with another man. And he says, you know, you say you love her and yet you saw her with another man. You didn't like knock the guy down or challenge him. And John says, well, I'm waiting. Jim says, waiting for what? John says, waiting to catch her with a smaller man. Premature jocularity. Actually, this is right on time jocularity. So there you go. If things are improving already because of our new sponsors, whomever they may be. all right. Well, one thing that you can count on is lots of on-time jocularity from Andrew Malcolm, the prince of Twitter, the regent of redstate.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @AHMalcolm. Until next week, I'm back, baby. So we're going to do this again next week, right?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. We'll talk then.